Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program 332, titled B as in Bush, B as in Borman, B as in von Bolsching. This is being recorded on October 21st of the year 2001. It's yet another broadcast dealing with the terrible events of September 11th of 2001. Now, once again, I'll apologize if some of the elements I'm talking about here are not sufficiently well delineated by supplemental discussion for listener satisfaction. I will refer listeners to two sources for supplemental information from other broadcasts at the end of this program. My analysis of the events of September 11th is that this was indeed an attack on America. However, rather like World War II, this was an attack by an extension of the Axis powers, specifically what I call the Underground Reich. And as was the case in World War II, where 70% of the investment capital that flowed into Germany in the 1930s came from the United States, elements of the economic and financial, the industrial and financial power elite, as well as the political power elite in this country, were working both sides of the coin. That would go for the Bush family, that would go for Alan Dulles, among others. And what we're going to look at in this program is a link between Otto von Bolsching, the SS officer heavily involved with, quote, Jewish matters, unquote, for the Third Reich, the Otto von Bolsching tied into the gambit with British fascist Jack Philby and King Ibn Saud to discredit the British. We looked at that in Side 1. Bear in mind that Otto von Bolsching went to work for Alan Dulles and the CIA at the end of World War II, and I believe that Otto von Bolsching, like the elements of the Islamic fundamentalist movement connected with the Third Reich, have then doubled on the United States, working for an underground Reich that is determined to destroy and or subjugate the United States. One of the key political connections running from the World War II period through the underground Reich to the first two, the Reagan administrations and the first George H.W. Bush administration, is Otto von Bolsching, again the SS man I spoke about earlier, and a woman named Helena von Damm, whom you'll hear about. Helena von Damm was a business associate of Otto von Bolsching, was actually a protege of his, and it was Helena von Damm who became the Reagan White House figure who selected the lists from which all of Ronald Reagan's appointments were made. And the Reagan administrations have served as sort of a seedbed for the personnel who then moved up into the first George Bush administration and now into the administration of George W. Bush. As we looked at, and among other programs, For the Record 248, it was the elder George Bush who was actually in charge of the machinations of the Iran-Contra scandal through the interagency governmental networks set up by the Vice President's Task Force on Combating Terrorism. That Vice President was none other than former CIA Director George Bush, and the main terrorist threat of that time was Muammar Gaddafi as well as the Iranians, whom we heard about. What we're going to be looking at now are links between Helena von Damm, the Iran-Contra scandal, an electronics company founded by Otto von Bolsching called TCCI, a subsidiary of TCCI, International Imaging Systems, became part of Stanford Technology, used by Albert Hakim for the Iran-Contra affair, and Helena von Damm also worked for Albert Hakim. So it's the von Bolsching, Dulles, TCCI, International Imaging Systems, Stanford Technology, Albert Hakim, Helena von Damm connections, it's front and center, and Helena von Damm picked the personnel for Ronald Reagan's administrations. This is excerpted from For the Record program number, or from RFA number 30, recorded on June 28th of 1987. In addition to my own voice, you will also hear the voice of my very charming and capable former co-host, Nip Tuck.
One of the things that also that we're going to be talking about right now is a gentleman whose name was just mentioned in the last article. It's one of the associates, as Dave mentioned, as if they were the only four associates, in fact, that that Ed Wilson had that were connected with the Contragate scandal. And, of course, there was a great deal more than that connected. But anyway, a man by the name of Albert Hakim, who's also one of our local interests, living as he did, I don't know where he's living now, living as he did in Los Gatos, right here in the San Francisco Bay Area, from which these broadcasts originate. The article we're going to read is from the San Jose Mercury News for July 18, 1986. The headline is Los Gatos Mystery Man in Spotlight. The article is by Pete Carey, a Mercury News staff writer. a Silicon Valley businessman whose home sits atop one of the highest hills in Los Gatos has been named in a civil suit alleging that he and several retired CIA and Defense Department officials conspired to arm a faction of the Contra forces fighting Nicaragua's Sandinista government. Albert Hakim, an Iranian-born U.S. citizen, insists the suit is without merit. But the court action could throw an unwelcome spotlight on the 51-year-old entrepreneur, who has figured peripherally in a few of the past decade's more mysterious intelligence-related affairs. Hakim's business activities... Hakim's business activities have included building an electronic security system for a South Korean nuclear power plant, selling a telephone monitoring system to the Shah of Iran, and opening several delicatessens in San Jose. Hakim also financed and later took over a high-tech security company that once marketed sophisticated electronic monitoring equipment in Latin America and South Korea, and, through a subsidiary of another company, employed a former CIA agent, Frank Turpel, now a federal fugitive. The $23.8 million suit against 30 defendants was filed May 29th in federal district court in Miami. It alleges that Hakim and several retired CIA and Defense Department officials conspired to arm and equip a faction of the Contra forces fighting Nicaragua's Sandinista government from 1983 to 1986. Skipping down in the article. Freelance writers Tony Avergan and Martha Honey, a couple from New York who filed the lawsuit, both attended the news conference. Avergan was among more than 25 injured in the bombing, although Pastora was not badly hurt, meaning Aiden Pastora, otherwise known as Comandante Cero. Eight others were killed. One of the five others named as having supplied the Contras, Theodore Shackley, a retired associate deputy chief of plans for the CIA who once worked for Hakim, said the suit is without merit. He said he knows and has worked for Hakim in the past and knows several others named in the suit, but has never helped arm or supply Contra forces. In a telephone interview, Hakim called the allegations, quote, totally inaccurate. Quote, "It has been many years since I stopped using the services of Ted Shackley," he said. "I stopped using him. He was a consultant to my company until 4 or 5 years ago. Since then, I have had no business connection with Shackley. My opinion is that we are simply good targets for such people to attack. I sincerely believe it is a political lawsuit. Since they cannot get to the administration, they use the people who cannot defend themselves. That is my analysis," unquote. Daniel P. Sheehan, who represents Avergan and Honey, admits his suit is intended to change public policy. Quote, "We've made clear to our clients that this isn't information we are gathering for their financial benefit. It's to solve a public policy problem," he said. Sheehan operates the Christic Institute, an interfaith law firm that files public interest lawsuits. Sheehan said that some of his information on Hakim comes from Edwin Wilson, another retired CIA agent now serving a lengthy prison term for training Libyan terrorists. Other information comes from, quote, sources Sheehan would not identify. Hakim said he believes he was named in the suit because of publicity about his firm's brief involvement with Turpel and Wilson. At the center of Hakim's activities is Stanford Technology Corporation, which he incorporated in Delaware in 1974. In Silicon Valley, the firm bought a company called International Imaging Systems, which made a computerized image processing system that enhances photographs of the Earth taken from high altitudes. During the 1970s, according to published reports, Stanford Technology made a computerized telephone monitoring service that it sold to the Shah of Iran's intelligence agency, SAVAK, apparently so the Shah could check up on his military commander's activities. And, in a move that later brought it unwelcome publicity, the company, through a Washington, D.C. subsidiary, also hired former CIA agent Turpel. According to Hakim, Turpel and his crony Wilson did a number of things without Hakim's knowledge or approval. Wilson and Turpel used Hakim's Swiss company, Stanford Technology S.A., to equip a computer center for the Libyan government of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, according to published sources. Hakim says he dismissed Turpel when he found out what was going on and later helped in the federal prosecution of Wilson. When Hakim sold International Imaging, he retained the name Stanford Technology Corporation and reincorporated it in California for future business ventures. He recently moved the firm to San Francisco. Bernard Siner, one of Hakim's attorneys, describes the company's business as, quote, "what is called remote supervision or surveillance equipment, to protect things like energy plants or Air Force bases from sabotage or invasion, unquote. Hakim also joined with Richard Secord, a retired Air Force general, in Stanford Technology Trading Group, a Vienna, Virginia trading company. Secord is also named in the lawsuit, but could not be reached for comment.
So, again, the Turple Wilson team, the association of all of these individuals with Turple and Wilson, and in particular, the use of Frank Turple as an employee in Stanford Technology are something to be borne in mind here. Perhaps the single most important name in that particular article was that of International Imaging Systems. Remember that name? It's one that's going to have great significance here for the Silicon Valley. And the reason is that International Imaging Systems is a company that connects the Albert Hakim Stanford Technology Company, involved not only with the Turple Wilson operation in Libya, but obviously also with the other members of the Turple Wilson team involved in the Iran-Contra scandal. It connects them to a company called TCI. That is an electronics company in the right here in the Silicon or Santa Clara Valley, which was headed by a man named Otto von Bolschwing. Now, we dealt with Otto von Bolschwing in Radio Free America number 3, and we're going to review some of that material right now. Otto von Bolschwing was an SS man, a participant in Hitler's Final Solution, and a man who went on to become a key Galen operative, specifically, according to one source, the head of Galen's North American operation. Reading now from the San Jose Mercury of November 20th of 1981. This is an article also by Pete Carey, the same fellow who wrote that other article. They had the one Nip just read you. And it's headlined, Ex-Nazi's Brilliant U.S. Career Strangled in a Web of Lies. For the past 10 years, Otto Albrecht Alfred von Bolschwing's carefully constructed life in America has been coming apart a piece at a time. He was president of a high-technology investment firm with headquarters in Sacramento Valley and subsidiaries in the Silicon Valley. It went bankrupt in a 1971 scandal. He was a doting husband until his ailing wife killed herself in 1978. He numbered among his business associates bankers and scientists. He numbered among his business associates millionaires, bankers, and scientists. Then his brainstem was hit by a rare disease 2 years ago, sending him into isolation at a Carmichael rest home. He told friends he had worked for the Americans during and after World War II. But in May, the federal government began proceedings to deport him for lying about his Nazi past. In a widely publicized attempt to revoke von Bolschwing's citizenship, the Justice Department accused him of helping Hitler's persecution of European Jews and of being an associate of Adolf Eichmann, the architect of Germany's mass killing program. The disclosures come at the end of a long, improbable career that took von Bolschwing through the Nazi hierarchy, into the CIA, and finally to the highest levels of American business. The list of people he knew, some of whom met him through a California high technology business venture in 1970, reads like a who's who. They include Justice William A. Newsom of the First District Court of Appeals in San Francisco, Helena von Damm, V-O-N-D-A-M-M, President Reagan's personal secretary, Thomas A. Fronzioli, banker to the Boston Cabot family, Emmanuel Fanakis, Fairchild Corporation Senior Vice President, Elmer Bobst, or Bobst, B-O-B-S-T, President of Warner-Lambert Pharmaceutical Company, and Alfred Driscoll, former New Jersey governor and Warner-Lambert's chairman. I'm nonplussed, Justice Newsom said. I thought, if anything, Otto had been pro-American during the war. As a businessman, von Bolschwing was vague about the war years. He said he had been a Gestapo prisoner and had worked for the CIA in post-war Germany. In 1969, he was asked about his German past during a job interview with Trans International Computer Investment Corporation, a high-flying investment firm that had founded several companies in the Silicon Valley. Von Bolschwing told his interviewer that he had been a lawyer. Skipping down in the article, who was this ex-Nazi and how did he prosper in America? Von Bolschwing's attorney would not allow an interview. This account was developed from people who knew him, accounts of Nazi Germany, court records, and business files. Born October 15, 1909, to East Prussian nobility, the family estate was founded in 1302, von Bolschwing attended school in Breslau and became a Nazi Party member at the age of 24, the only member of his family to do so. He joined the SS, the elite secret police of the Nazis, 6 years later. According to the Justice Department, as an SS captain, he helped plan the exclusion of Jews from the German economy and developed anti-Jewish propaganda to force their emigration from Germany. In History of the SS by Heinz Hoene, von Bolschwing is described as, quote, a party member, an SD, foreign intelligence informer, and an experienced salesman in the motor trade, unquote. In 1938, again quoting Hoene, He was in contact with a group of Palestinian Germans who lined their pockets by certain extramural intelligence activities, according to Hoene, who wrote that von Boswing spied on the Zionist Haganah Army. Ejected from Palestine by the British for espionage, he surfaced in Romania as a government oil expert, unquote. By his own account, in 1941, he helped the leadership of the Iron Guard, a right-wing movement, escape to Berlin after it had gone on a three-day rampage in which many Jews, the estimates vary considerably, brutally were killed. The same year, he became a partner in the Amsterdam Bank, the Bank voor Onirande Zaken. Investigators said they suspect the bank may have played a role in the Aryanization, the forced sale of Dutch Jewish farms, businesses, homes, and securities. In August of 1941, von Boswing was tossed into a Gestapo prison with no formal charges, and in April 42, he was just as mysteriously released. In 1945, he helped American troops entering Austria catch Nazi officials and SS officers, according to a letter written for von Boswing by a colonel in the 71st U.S. Infantry. The war over, von Boswing made a move crucial to his... The war over, von Boswing made a move crucial to his future success. He became an American spy. Quote, he knocked on the door of U.S. Army intelligence, a source explained, and said, I'm experienced, I have a ring operating. If you give me a paycheck, I'll make you very happy. He was sort of a miniature Reinhard Galen. Galen was the Nazi general who helped the CIA build a spy network in post-war Europe. Galen was the Nazi general who helped the CIA build a spy network in post-war Eastern Europe, then became head of post-war German intelligence activities. According to one unconfirmed report, von Boswing became the controller of Galen's CIA operation after Galen returned to German government. He must have done something right, the source said. In December of 1953, von Boswing applied to immigrate to the United States, and on February 2, 1954, he arrived in this country. After obtaining several menial jobs, he became a citizen in 1959 when his career took a sudden upward turn. He became an assistant to the director of international marketing at Warner Lambert Pharmaceutical Company, developing close ties to the company's president, the late Elmer Bobst, and its honorary board chairman, former New Jersey Governor Alfred Driscoll, according to a close associate. His contacts at Warner Lambert were way out of proportion with his job, the associate said. Driscoll continued to write him recommendations for many years. By the mid-60s, von Boswing had become an executive with Cabot Manufacturing. As chief financial officer for its German subsidiary, he developed a $50 million carbon black factory for Cabot in Germany. The deal was financed through Thomas Franzioli, senior vice president of the First National Bank of Boston. Franzioli recalls that von Boswing then branched out on his own. He was starting a business importing wine from Argentina, Franzioli recalled. I don't know if it ever got off the ground. This is the most important single part of the article here. In March of 1969, von Boswing got a job in high technology. He was retained as an international business consultant by TCI, the Sacramento firm. The company planned to commercialize on technology developed in the Silicon Valley and used a few years earlier to monitor troop movements in the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, according to the firm's founder, Oswald S. Williams. TCI's subsidiaries in Palo Alto and Mountain View, Advanced Information Systems and International Imaging Systems, recall that's the company Hakim purchased, were developing a high-volume computer network for business and a navigation system for oil tankers using satellite communications, Williams said. Skipping down into the article, records and interviews with TCI officials indicate, fill in one more point, TCI's high-power directors, one was J. Paul Getty Jr., son of the oil billionaire, thought enough of von Boswing to make him the firm's president in 1970. He seemed like a very polite and cultured person, said Walter F. Leverden, former vice president for satellite systems of the Aerospace Corporation. Leverden sat on the board of TCI. Skipping down. Records and interviews with TCI officials indicate that Helena von Damm, President Reagan's Austrian-born deputy assistant, translated some German contracts for TCI and invested $1,000 in it while she was then Governor Reagan's secretary in Sacramento. Von Damm was too busy, unquote, to talk about von Boswing, but through her White House secretary, she said she knew him socially, unquote, in Sacramento many years ago. In 1970, TCI ran into trouble with the Department of Corporations. Several major stockholders were syndicating their stock, selling it to small investors in Sacramento. It was the hottest thing in town, recalled Brian Van Camp, now a private attorney, but then the commissioner of corporations. The trading was found to be illegal under a 1968 law requiring security sales to be registered. The Department of Corporations suspended trading in TCI stock, and in 1972, the Sacramento District Attorney's Office prosecuted several stockholders, calling it, quote, possibly the biggest stock fraud in California history. So the important parts of this are to remember von Bolsving's role as quite possibly the head of Galen's North American operation. Of course, we've looked at the Galen organization many, many times. And also, in particular, to remember the fact that International Imaging Systems was one of TCI's subsidiaries, one of TCI's employees, and a social contact of von Bolsving was Helena von Damm. Nip Tuck's going to read you about Helena von Damm, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little more about some of the significance of some of these connections, because this may appear to some people to be a little bit off the track. We're going to tie that back in here in just a sec.
Oh, yes. These things may seem off the track, but as the entire Contragate hearings, the Contragate scandal has proved, this stuff that Dave and I have been talking about for the last few years is as current as today's paper. This is one of yesterday's papers, actually, many yesterdays ago. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle for Tuesday, August 3rd, 1982. The headline is Big Promotion for Reagan's Ex-Secretary, and it goes like this. President Reagan announced yesterday in Des Moines that he will promote Helena von Damm to the position of Assistant to the President for Presidential Personnel. She will replace E. Pendleton James, who is returning to the private sector, according to the White House announcement. Von Damm, formerly Reagan's secretary, has worked with him since his first campaign for governor of California in 1966. She is now deputy assistant to the president and director of presidential personnel. The president also announced that he will nominate Edward A. Curran, 48, until recently an official in the Education Department, to be deputy director of the Peace Corps. So, August 82, Helena von Damm gets her big promotion, becomes the head of presidential personnel, assistant to the president for presidential personnel. Again, I think we erroneously first read this at one point as being his personnel, his personal secretary, but in fact she was the person who put together the list of people to be promoted according to out of the White House, a very significant list and a very significant duty for a woman who had been, is connected into this case in some other interesting ways.
And again, she says she knew him socially. That doesn't say whether they met once at a party or whether they were the most intimate of friends for a period of time. It is significant, however, that she worked for and was associated with TCI. In turn, von Bolsving, a key Galen agent and, according to one source, head of Great Galen's North American operation after Galen went back to head up the BND, and, significantly, a man who owned, or was the president, rather, of TCI, one of whose subsidiaries, International Imaging Systems, was purchased by Albert Hakim and led directly into Stanford Technology. Stanford Technology being the firm that was used by Turple and Wilson in part of their Libyan operations, specifically to sell a computer system to Gaddafi. Now, recall that in Radio Free America number 3, and again in Radio Free America number 22, we took a look at the Galen antecedents to the Mideast terror connections. Specifically, we took a look at the Otto Skorzeny Nazi war criminal contingent that was recruited by Alan Dulles and the CIA to help put together first the Egyptian and later the Libyan Secret Service. We also took a look at Skorzeny's association with Muammar Gaddafi in the Paladin Mercenary Group, a key element of the Internationale Fascista, and an organization which includes KORU, as we're going to look at in our next program on this series. We also took a look at the fact that the first Palestinian terrorist groups were put together by Otto Skorzeny during the course of this mission in that part of the world. And again, Radio Free America is number 3, and in particular RFA number 22 are very important programs to tie in with this. So when we look at Turple and Wilson associated with Gaddafi, when we look at Turple Wilson associated with terrorism in the Middle East and elsewhere, we want to be thinking about these Galen antecedents to this. And again, bear in mind the name International Imaging Systems, or IIS for short. That was originally part of TCI, owned by or headed up by Otto von Bolsving. It then was a transition point from TCI to Stanford Technology, the Hakim firm, Hakim, a Turple Wilson associate, who employed Frank Turple when he, along with Edwin Wilson, sold a computer system to Gaddafi. Another interesting detail about not only the International Imaging Systems connection, but also an allegation concerning a connection between Helena von Damm and Albert Hakim, is contained in the San Jose Metro. That's an excellent and up-and-coming publication here in the South Bay. This is from the San Jose Metro's issue of December 11th through December 17th of 1986. Another firm, the Silicon Valley, this is talking about the companies that Albert Hakim owned. Another firm, the Silicon Valley-based International Imaging Systems, was purchased by Hakim's Stanford Technology Corporation from Trans International Computer Investment Corp., a Sacramento firm with Silicon Valley subsidiaries. IIS manufactured systems that enhanced photographs of Earth taken by high-altitude spy satellites, the type that the intelligence community likes to boast can read the headlines off a copy of Pravda in Red Square. Its former parent company, TCI, had as its president one Otto Albrecht Alfred von Bolsching, who in 1981 admitted to being a former Nazi Party and SS member during a Justice Department investigation. The same year, Justice began deportation proceedings on charges that he lied about his Nazi past to obtain U.S. citizenship in 1959. Von Bolsching died a short time later. Von Bolsching was an anti-Semitic propagandist in the SS who also headed the Nazi program to Aryanize, unquote, Jewish-owned properties. He informed the Nazi Foreign Intelligence Service and developed a relationship with U.S. Army intelligence after the war, immigrating to America with the government's apparent blessing. Later, the company von Bolsching headed conducted classified research for the Department of Defense. A minor investor in and translator for von Bolsching's TCI was Helena von Damm, President Reagan's Austrian-born former deputy assistant. She invested $1,000 in the company while she was then Governor Reagan's secretary in Sacramento. And the next part is the most important here. One source who worked closely with Hakim told Metro that von Damm performed work for and visited European subsidiaries of Hakim-controlled companies. Von Damm later became U.S. ambassador to Austria, a position she no longer holds. It'll be interesting to see what, if anything, can be found about those particular connections. And again, Helena von Damm was special assistant. What was the title there?
She was presidential assistant for presidential personnel.
For White House personnel.
Yeah.
The point is that she drew up the lists of appointments from which Ronald Reagan made potential appointees from which Ronald Reagan made his presidential appointments. A key person in the formation of the fabric of the Reagan administration, one associated apparently with von Bolsching, and definitely with von Bolsching, and quite possibly with Hakim also. And again, if this seems a little off the track, we're trying to point out how central the Triple Wilson team is to the Reagan administration as a whole, and we're trying to point out the ongoing links between the Nazi origins and the Nazi connections and the Galen connections to much of Middle Eastern terror and the people who eventually picked up the Skorzeny standard, the Edwin Wilsons and the others who helped train Skorzeny associate and protege Muammar Gaddafi.
That again from the RFA number 30, recorded on June 28th of 1987. That and other programs are available from a CD and tape duplication service called Spitfire. They can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can visit their website at www.spitfirelist.com. It's equipped with real audio, and in the For the Record section, there are descriptions of the various programs available in the For the Record series, as well as descriptions for the other programs available in the other sections. There are links between the Spitfire website and two real audio websites being run by sister station WFMU in Jersey City, New Jersey. Programs are streaming at WFMU.org/Dave Emery, and there is a longer URL with programs available for download only on Real Audio. That concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program number 332, B as in Bush, B as in Borman, B as in von Bolsching. This is being recorded on October 21st of 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.